السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما يتقبل الله من المتقين. صدق الله العظيم. Those who went to perform the pilgrimage of Hajj, they have fulfilled this obligation. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the Hajj. When a person returns from Hajj, we learn that we should make an effort to go and meet this person. And when we go out to meet this person, then we should request this person to make dua for us. Because this person who has returned from Hajj, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that when he returns, if you request him to make dua for you, then whatever dua he will make for you, Allah Ta'ala will accept this dua. So this is one point we should keep in mind, that if we know any members of our family, any friends, any associates, any neighbors who have been for Hajj this year, then we should know when they are going to return. And in fact, we also find this, that we should make an effort to meet them before they enter their home. So the dua that they make for us before they enter their home, that dua will be accepted. This is why my respected uncle and Shaykh Hafidhahullah mentions that on one occasion he was sleeping, and in the middle of the night his father woke him up from his sleep, and he said, "We need to go to such and such a person's house and wait outside his door." Why? Because he's going to be returning from Hajj. Look, he kept in mind, because he was very particular. My grandfather was very particular with every aspect of the deen and the religion. These small things that we don't pay attention towards. For example, the days of Takbirat of Tashriq have passed. So from the 9th of Dhul Hijjah until the 13th of Dhul Hijjah, after every salah, we were reciting the takbirat of Tashriq. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallahu wallahu akbar. Allahu Akbar walillahi alhamd. So regarding my grandfather, my uncle mentions an incident that once, whilst they were in Batli, it so happened that it was going to be the time for Asr Salah on the last day of the takbirat of Tashriq. So this is the last Salah, because the first salah is on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, the Fajr, and the Asr of the 13th of Dhul Hijjah, that's the last salah when you perform, when you recite the Takbirat of Tashriq. Then from Maghrib you don't recite it. So those who remember, on Wednesday, Asr salah was the last one you recited the Takbirat of Tashriq. So it was the last one, the Asr salah. So my uncle says that his father kept telling him that it's going to be Asr time, prepare yourself for Asr, prepare yourself for Asr. And as they were going towards the masjid, my uncle says that I said to my father that why were you emphasizing so much to prepare for Asr and getting for the Jama'ah Salah when we are musafir, we are travelers. For us, it's not even necessary to go to the masjid and perform Salah. So this is one angle that we look at things from, that what's necessary and what's not necessary. But those who want to acquire paradise, who want to gain the pleasure of Allah, those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they won't look at what's necessary and what's not necessary. If you love somebody, you don't only do those things which are necessary, you do extra things for them also. So they performed the Asr Salah. After Asr Salah, they recited the Takbirat of Tashriq. And after Asr Salah, my grandfather said to my uncle, I do not remember a single time when I have not recited the Takbirat of Tashriq with the entire congregation. In other words, throughout my entire life, I have always been in the masjid in such a way that I don't miss a rakat and I recite the Takbirat of Tashriq with everybody. So this is how particular they were with regards to these sort of things. And in Masjid al-Nur, in Highfields, those people that used to perform Salah there regularly, they would say that nobody would be able to say that we saw, regarding my grandfather, that we saw him missing a raka'ah or missing the takbir-e-ula. So when the Imam says, Allahu Akbar, this is takbir-e-ula when Salah starts. In other words, he was always in the Masjid before the Salah began. Rather, he would be in the masjid at the time of Adhan. So this is how particular these people were. And in his old age, again, because my uncle is an alim, so in his old age, my uncle used to say to him that now you've become old, but you are still so particular with regards to these things which you shouldn't be doing in your old age. It's not good for you. It's not good for your health. But my grandfather used to say, when Allah Ta'ala will grant a person entry into Jannah on the day of Qiyamah, He will grant a person entry into paradise due to one good deed that he carried out. And I do not know if I have carried out that one good deed yet or not. So this is why I do every small thing I can with this hope that maybe this will be the good deed that will attract Allah's mercy. So whenever a good thought comes in our mind, let me carry out this good deed. Never undermine that good deed. If shaitan will put this thought in your mind, that you don't even perform your namaz, you don't even fast in Ramadan, you carry out this sin and this sin and this sin, and the thought has crossed your mind that let me pick up this banana skin, this banana peel from the floor, because somebody may be inconvenient, somebody may slip. No, this one good deed could be the good deed that grants you entry into Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that an extremely sinful woman, she reaches the well and she is extremely thirsty. So she draws the water from the well and she quenches her thirst. And thereafter she sees that there's a dog who is also gasping for water. This dog is extremely thirsty. So this woman lowers her leather sock into the well, fills it with water and quenches the thirst of this dog. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Allah Ta'ala appreciated this one good deed, and because of this one good deed, this woman was granted entry into Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I saw a man roaming around in Jannah, in the gardens of paradise. Why was he granted entry into Jannah? That he was walking on the street and he saw that there was a branch, and this branch was inconveniencing the people that were passing by. So he moved this branch out the way. Because of moving this one branch out the way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him entry into Jannah. So I was mentioning the incident regarding that my grandfather, he woke up his son. And he said to him that we need to be outside this person's house, because any moment now he's going to be returning from Hajj. And according to one narration, you should ask the person to make dua for you before they enter the house. So even regarding these things, look how particular he was. that in the middle of the night, and then he knew that even for my children, this is something beneficial. If we know that if you go to someone's house at 2 in the morning, you'll receive £500. Then even though it's difficult to wake your son up, you'll wake him up. Why? Because you know that my son will receive £500. I don't want him to miss out. But when it comes to akhirah, when it comes to deen, when it comes to things of the hereafter, we don't understand its value. So when a person returns, we should ask this person to make dua for us. If we can reach the house before they enter the home, then this would be the best option. And if this is not possible, then after they have returned, we should visit them and we should request them. When we visit them, usually when someone comes back from Hajj, the most we will do, if it's a family member, we'll go to their house and visit them. And we will consume the dates and the Zamzam water and we will return. Seldom will you find someone who will request this person that please make dua for me, your duas are accepted. So we should say to them that make dua for me, and we should request them that say to Allah that, oh Allah, forgive this person's sins. We should request them to ask for forgiveness for us. And in one narration we find that this person who has returned from Hajj, his du'as are accepted until the 20th of Rabi'ul Awwal. So right now we are in Dhul Hijjah. So the remainder of Dhul Hijjah, then the entire Muharram, the entire Safar, and 20 days of Rabi'ul Awwal. So that's another 80 days. So until this time, this person's du'as are accepted in our favor. This is how purified these people become when they return from Hajj. So we should visit them, we should request them to make dua for us, and we should request them to ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive us. And together with this, we should greet them with salam, and after greeting them with salam, after they have answered to our salam, we should make a dua. There's a masnood dua which we have been taught. And the dua is that you say to the person who has returned from Hajj, قَبِيلَ اللَّهُ حَجَّكَ. May Allah Ta'ala accept your Hajj. So this is the first dua that we make. قَبِيلَ اللَّهُ حَجَّكَ. May Allah Ta'ala accept your Hajj. From here we learn a very important lesson. And this lesson is that one is that we carry out a good deed. Throughout our life we always try, as believers, we try to do as many good deeds as possible. Because that's our goal. You want to try and enter Jannah. So we all try to carry out good deeds. You come for the Jummah Bayan, this is a good deed. You perform the Jummah Salah, that's another good deed. But this is already two good deeds. If someone enters the masjid with the right foot, he's carried out another good deed. If you enter the masjid and you recite Bismillahi wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, Allahumma aftahli abwaba rahmatik, you've carried out another good deed. But there's so many good deeds you can carry out. You greet someone, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is another good deed. On the day of Jumu'ah, if you do ghusl, this is another good deed. You apply perfume, this is another good deed. But there's so many good deeds a person can carry out. Now it's up to you how many good deeds you want to carry out. So one is carrying out the good deed. But after the good deed is carried out, this is just the presence of this good deed. This good deed has now, it's got a presence to it. You've performed two rakat salah, this is the presence of the good deed. But together with the presence of a good deed, there's something else called the acceptance of the good deed. And that's the important part. So if one person carries out 10 good deeds, and on the day of Qiyamah, they stand in the court of Allah, but none of those deeds were accepted, when he will stand in the court of Allah, in his balance, it will be zero. And you have another person, he carries out only one good deed. But that one good deed is accepted in the court of Allah. When he stands in the presence of Allah, in his balance will be one. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali gives the example that you have one person, he goes around picking up notes or coins. But all of these notes and coins, they're fake. They're not real. So he goes around the whole city and he picks up 100 coins or 100 notes. And he's very happy that I have 100 notes in my hand. Now when I go to the bank, I'm going to receive a good amount of money. But when he presents it to the cashier, the cashier looks at each note and says, this one is fake, this one is fake, this one is fake. So he returns home with nothing. Because they were all fake notes. So in the same way, if a person continues to do good deeds in the world, but the good deeds are not accepted in the court of Allah, then on the day of Qiyamah, we will realize that all our good deeds are fake. So we have to carry out good deeds, but they have to be accepted in the court of Allah. So how will they be accepted? Number one, the good deed has to be in accordance to the manner taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The entire deed has to be in accordance to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu once saw a person, he was performing two rakats optional salah between the time of Asr and Maghrib. Now, between Asr and Maghrib, it's makruh to perform any salah. After sunrise, you cannot perform salah in the morning. Likewise, at the time of Zawal, midday, it's not permissible to perform salah. And after you've performed your Asr salah, it's not permissible to perform any salah until the time of Maghrib. Because these are the three times when in the morning the sun rises, at noon time the sun is right at its peak, and then at Maghrib time the sun is setting. So usually at these times, those who worship the sun, they prostrate before the sun. So in order to not imitate such people, it is makruh to perform salah during these times. So on the timetable, you have the sunrise time. So after sunrise, for approximately half an hour, you shouldn't perform any salah. Likewise, on the timetable, it's written that 10 minutes before Zawal, you shouldn't perform any salah. And Asr time, we already know. So once you've performed your Asr, then until Maghrib, you don't perform any salah. So this person was performing salah between Asr and Maghrib. It's makruh, it's disliked. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who told somebody that go and stop him and tell him not to perform salah. So this person came and said to Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, that what do you think Allah ta'ala is going to become angry with me when all I am doing is performing salah? I'm doing a good deed. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said that Allah ta'ala doesn't become angry with a person who performs salah, but he does become angry with that person who does something contrary to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So look, even though it's a good deed, if it's done against the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this good deed is not going to be accepted in the court of Allah. So number one, the good deed has to be in accordance to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And number two, the intention has to be correct. You have to carry out that good deed solely to please Allah, not to show others. So Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, Hazrat Tami rahmatullahi alayhi, once went to someone's house to visit him because he had returned from Hajj. So this person, he said to his son that go into the other room and bring back the jug with the Zamzam water in it. But do not bring back the jug from this year's Hajj. And do not bring back the jug from the Hajj we went last year. Bring back the jug from the Hajj we went 3 years ago. And thereafter he said to his son that when you hold the jug, don't hold it by its neck, otherwise it may break. Hold it from the bottom. So Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullahi alayhi said to this man that whether your jug breaks or not, your three Hajj have all broken. Why? He was trying to tell people that I've not only been Hajj this year, I've been Hajj 3 years. When he said that don't bring back the jug from this year, don't bring back the jug from last year, bring back the jug from 3 years ago, his intention inside was to show people that I've been going Hajj for the past 3 years. Now majority here didn't understand. But Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullahi alayhi, he was a master in this field. So straight away, just as a doctor, he is able to diagnose an illness which normal people cannot. So the mashayikh, they are able to diagnose our spiritual illnesses. So this spiritual illness is called riya, ostentation, to do an action to show people. So instead of doing it sincerely for the pleasure of Allah, you're doing it to show people. So look, it's possible that when he performed Hajj the first time 3 years ago, he did it only to please Allah. Last year when he performed Hajj, it's possible he did it only to please Allah. But after 3 years, this one comment has destroyed all three Hajj. So sometimes you may do a good deed solely to please Allah, but 10 years down the line, 20 years down the line, 30 years down the line, you end up saying something to somebody due to which the riya and the ostentation comes into that good deed. So it's so important that number one, the good deed is done in accordance to the pleasure of Allah, meaning the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown us. And number two, our intention has to be sincere and clear. If you are doing it to show people, then it will not be accepted. Before someone goes for Umrah or someone goes for Hajj, you will inform people, you will message them that I'm going for Umrah on Saturday, please make dua for me. Now what's your intention inside? If your intention is that, yes, make dua for me, then this is fine. But in many cases you will find, if you were to dissect your heart and actually check that what's the intention, the intention will be that I'm only messaging this person to show him that, look, I'm going for Umrah as well. So the real intention is show. Many people do this. They'll go to the khanqah of the sheikh, they'll go for i'tikaf. So they're going around meeting people and telling them that I'm going i'tikaf next week, I'm going Umrah next week, I'm going Hajj next week. They just want to show people. So even before the good deed, the intention is wrong. So this is very important. You have to keep this in mind. That the good deed, whatever good deed you do, do it in the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown us. For this, sit in the gatherings of the ulama and learn from them what's the correct way. And after knowing the correct way to do the good deed, make sure your intention is also correct. When both of these will be present, now this action will be accepted in the court of Allah. So when a person returns from Hajj and you meet this person, you should say, قَبِيلَ اللَّهُ حَجَّكْ. May Allah accept your Hajj. وَغَفَرَ ذَنْبَكْ. And may Allah Ta'ala forgive your sins. وَأَخْلَفَ نَفَقَتَكْ. And may Allah Ta'ala recompense your expenses. So a person has spent £8,000, £7,000, £9,000. So we're making dua for them. Look at the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that time, it possibly did not even cost much. But this is also a miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a time will come when Hajj will cost a great amount. So we've been taught this dua as well. That you say to the person, wa akhlafa nafaqatak, may Allah recompense your expenses. So whatever 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 pounds you've spent, may Allah Ta'ala give you that money back again. Now if this dua is also accepted, this person will receive that money from somewhere or another. So an amazing dua. So whenever someone comes from Hajj, we should greet them, we should request them to make dua for us, and then we should make dua for them using these words, قَبِيلَ اللَّهُ حَجَّكْ وَغَفَرَ ذَنْبَكْ وَأَخْلَفَ نَفَقَتَكْ. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala that He grant us all the ability to practice upon what has been said. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Please make the safs before the azan. Stand close together and fill in all the empty gaps. The brothers that are near the fans, if you can switch the fans on, please. Whoever is standing near the fans, if you can switch the fans on, please.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي لا إله إلا
Last week, the brothers donated approximately £700. All brothers are requested to continue donating generously on their way out towards the running cost of the masjid. And inshallah, tomorrow after Asr Salah, our weekly Dars-e Quran, which takes place in the English language, will be taking place. So all brothers are requested to try and participate after Asr Salah tomorrow.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق الله حيثما كنت وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المؤمنين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا. الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم ومن آذاهم فقد آذاني ومن آذاني فقد آذى الله ومن آذى الله فيوشك أن يأخذه. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك واجعل اللهم آمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلدان المسلمين. اللهم انصر المسلمين المظلومين في فلسطين. اللهم انصرهم ولا تنصر عليهم. اللهم ألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اجعل حج الحجاج حجا مبرورا وسعيهم سعيا مشكورا وذمهم ذما مغفورا وتجارتهم تجارة لن تبور عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
Some brothers waiting outside to come inside. There may be spaces in the adjoining rooms. Can the brothers please check the rooms that are in front of them just to make sure that they are full too? Yeah, we are waiting. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Hayya 'ala as-salah, Hayya 'ala as-salah, Hayya 'ala al-falah, Hayya 'ala al-falah. قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي يخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله